إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيقول الله جل وعلا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإنهم إلا يظنون. My dear brothers and sisters, first and foremost, although Ramadan comes once every year and the people of Iman are very excited to enter into the month of Ramadan, for they have another opportunity once again, as found in the beautiful narration in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala with an authentic chain, where three people passed away and there were three companions. So they were like close friends, companions, they would spend their time with one another. Two of them passed away, and they passed away, they were shaheed when they passed away. And they passed away about a year before the last companion. So two of them passed away in battle. The last one passed away, this is at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last one passed away a year later. A year later. So after he passed away, Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was from the 10 given glad tidings of paradise, he saw the last one who passed away last, passed away normally. And he saw that this one had surpassed the previous two. This one was way ahead of the previous, so he couldn't understand it. So these two passed away a different way to this person. How can this one be ahead? So when he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, did he not witness another month of Ramadan? Did he not pray such and such salah? Did he pray a large amount of salah after 1 year's worth of prayer? And he made an entire Ramadan. So he said, wallahi, the difference between the two of them is like the difference between the distance of the heavens and earth. Over what, my dear brothers and sisters? Why? Because this person, Allah gave him extra piece of life, gave him some more life, and he utilized that life to his advantage. So likewise, when the month of Ramadan comes, I know a lot of the time, and even as the khatib, a person who's given the khutbah to other brothers and sisters, a lot of the time things become a bit cliche. Things become a bit repetitive. It's like another Ramadan. And okay, yeah, and then we're going to do suhoor, and then we're going to do iftar, we're going to come to the month, we're going to come to the masjid, and it's the same imam or a different imam, and he's going to lead us in tarawih. It becomes repetitive and a very vicious cycle. That person doesn't understand that it's another golden opportunity. And they may miss out on this next year. For I remember when I was just with my mother a few days ago, and she was just thinking, and I was saying, what's wrong? And she was telling me that, she said, her sister was with her last year. She's not here too. She never knew that her sister who was with her, witnessed Ramadan with her last year, she's not going to be alive this year to witness it. So this year she's going to be without her sister, and she's going to be thinking, how is her sister's situation in her grave right now? And it's true, my dear sisters. I think it's not something we're not told before it happens. We're not given any notice before it happens. So it's really important for us to really wake ourselves up, like Qasim ibn Ubaid, Qasim ibn Salam, from the Kibar, from the great scholars of the past, the mighty scholars of the past. He was a scholar in the Lugha, meaning in linguistics. So what happened was that he had an aspiration, a goal, that he wanted to make a mighty project, an Islamic project, where he did a khidmah, a service for the Muslims. What does he do? He gets all of the Arabic, all of the stuff that he knows, and he tidies up the language for the Muslims to benefit from. He says, just like Yahya ibn Ma'ir, rahimahullah ta'ala, who's a great scholar in hadith, just like he tidied up hadith, he wants to tidy up the language. So what happened, my dear brothers and sisters? So he was, procrastinating, and then he had an illness, and a doctor came to visit him. And the doctor saw that he looked like he was in a state of distress. So he said, what's wrong with you?
sees this jaza, and he sees that he's, you know, he doesn't look very well. He says, what's wrong with you? So he says that, I see that your marad, your sickness is khafif. It's like, it's not so bad. And he says, and you still have, meaning if Allah gives you life, you still have 10 more years to survive. Based on this illness, I'll predict that you have another 10 years, and then after that you pass away. So alhamdulillah, you have time. So then Qasim, this great scholar he mentioned, he says that an insanu fi ghafla, says that a person is in a state of heedlessness, hatta yuqada bi'illah, until he's woken up with sickness. Has a lump on his body, goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, sorry my friend, you have only a short space of time, and you're about to pass away. And obviously Allah knows best if that's going to happen, because the doctor's only telling him based on previous people who had the same problem. So this is why he's saying, based on this, people who have had the same problem, they passed away in 3 months, they passed away in 6 months, they passed away in X amount. But the point that we're making, my dear sisters, this person, he's making this statement, he says that the human being is in a state of heedlessness, meaning he says, I'm going to do inshallah tomorrow, inshallah next year, inshallah after I retire, I'm going to do this. When the holiday comes, we're going to aim for this. When this time happens, we're going to aim for this. So what happens? We keep procrastinating and we keep delaying here. And then when the sickness strikes, or sometimes it might even be an instant death, but a lot of the time it's an illness or something goes wrong and you have a short space of time, then a person wakes up and then they decide, now is the time for me to wake up. But then now, we don't have too much time. So there's only so much a person can do. So let us think about this very carefully, my dear brothers and sisters, and let us make sure that we start working right now. Because they say, some of the scholars of the past, they say that the one who thinks that he's going to live for long, they're the ones who normally don't do good deeds. And then they think, I still got 5 years, inshallah, 10 years, inshallah, at least 20 years, I've got this amount of time. The people who have this mindset in their mind, they normally don't do good deeds. But a person who thinks, you know what, I may have 1 year left, I may have half a year left, it's probably a short time, these people, they normally try their best and they're racing to do good deeds because they have no idea. They really have no idea when it's time to depart. Now what we want to do now, inshaAllah ta'ala, for the rest of the time that we have with you, in this first khutbah and then the second khutbah, inshaAllah ta'ala, we just want to reflect on some of the verses that we've covered in Taraweeh, or your own personal recitation, since we've started this month, inshaAllah ta'ala. Just want to reflect on some of those verses, inshaAllah ta'ala. And maybe not even the entire verse, even parts of the verses, just to benefit from them, inshaAllah ta'ala. So Allah Jalla wa'ala, when we start off in Surah Al-Baqarah, says, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى بِالَّذِي هُوَ خَيْرٍ. He says that Allah Jalla wa'ala is speaking, he tells us about Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam tells his nation, he says that, do you wish to leave, to forsake something that's mighty, something that's great, superior? So you, basically what you want to do, he says that, you seek, imagine you have something amazing going on, where you have two choices. Something's amazing and something is no good. Or it might be okay, but it's not on the same level. Says, do you wish to get rid of that which is amazing? You're going to say, no, I don't want it anymore. Get rid of it. And you focus all of your time on the inferior. So let's repeat that again, just to make sure that everyone's got the verse. Musa alayhi salam, Allah is telling us that Musa alayhi salam tells his nation that, because his nation asked, when Allah used to give them beautiful food, he said they want to have food that's inferior. Food that's nowhere near on the same level. So Musa alayhi salam can't understand the way they think. He says, do you want to replace that, the amazing stuff that Allah has given you, for this, which is no good? So anyway, so let's think about this in respect to Ramadan. In Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters, a very common trait that many of us have, whether we realize it or not, and this is why it's important for us to think about this, is when we look at the deeds, what's the greatest deed in the sight of Allah that we perform on the daily basis? the obligatory prayer, the obligatory actions. The obligatory actions. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us this in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the hadith Qudsi, but Allah Ta'ala mentions this himself. When Allah Ta'ala mentions this himself, what does he say? He says that my servant doesn't, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Says that my servant doesn't get closer to me with anything more beloved than that which I have made an obligation upon him. Like what? Like an obligatory prayer, for example. Why is this important? Because in the month of Ramadan, and this happens outside as well, but specifically in the month of Ramadan, we come to perform Taraweeh in the masjid. Is there anything wrong with that? No, rather it's a beautiful action, my brothers and sisters. It's beautiful to see brothers and sisters racing to the masjid for the Taraweeh prayer, for optional prayers. But my dear brothers and sisters, but sometimes they're lacking in the obligations. So the obligatory prayer, sometimes you find a brother or sister, they don't even perform the obligatory prayer. So they pass a prayer, they may miss it. They may miss it. Sometimes they perform the night prayer, but then they sleep through the Fajr. They have some shuhur and maybe they say, I'm really tired, don't worry, I'll pray Fajr later. Or they sleep, or sometimes they sleep very long, that they delay the Dhuha, or they may miss it too. Over what? For the price of the optional. So this is an important point, my dear brothers and sisters, that when it comes to the obligatory actions and the optional actions, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. I think the most beloved action for Allah is the obligatory action. Once you've done the obligatory action, then you start working on the optional actions. وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. Like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that Allah says that, and then my servant continues to draw close to me after they've mastered that, they've done the obligations. Now they're moving with the optional prayers, and they continue to do them until I love that person. Until I love, meaning you obtain Allah's love. But how? You start off with the obligatory actions, then you shift on to the optional actions, my dear brothers and sisters. Please remember this very carefully. A person recites so much Quran, but they miss the prayers. That doesn't even make sense. Like, and no, this isn't what Islam came with, my sisters. Just as in, there's no madhab in the world that came up with this. There's no fiqh that exists on the face of this earth where a person puts the optional prayers on top of the obligatory, or the optional actions on top of the obligatory. And this is something very, very, very common. Very common. Or sometimes a person fasts, which is beautiful, but they miss their obligatory prayers, my sisters. We're not saying the optional prayers, if you take a hit in the optional prayers, as if you don't perform them, I would encourage you to perform them, but if you don't perform them, it's not the end of the world. But when a person doesn't perform the obligatory prayers, now we have a major, major, major problem. Like a very, very, very big worry. Like if Allah tells us in Surah Maryam, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَانِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. When Allah talks about those who neglected the prayer. But it's not just wasted the prayer. How did they waste the prayer? Some of the companions, the Ibn Abbas, and also recorded on Ibn Mas'ud, they say they used to delay the prayer past its time. So imagine, the Dhuha ends at this time, the Asr starts at this time, you delay after that time, what does Allah say? He says, they'll be thrown in ghay. Ghay is a place in the hellfire, sisters. It's a place in the hellfire. This is for a person who delays the prayer. We're not talking about a person who misses the prayer. As for missing the prayer, that's on a different level altogether. That's on a total different level, sisters. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us in the hadith of Abu Barayra, in Bukhari Muslim, that in the next life, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when some of the believers, they enter into the hellfire, and some of the believers, they enter into paradise. So then the believers who enter paradise, who didn't go into the hellfire, they're going to remember some of their family members. They're going to remember some of their friends. So they're going to say, our Lord, رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانُنَا كَانُوا يُصَلُّونَ مَعَنَا. Our Lord, Ya Allah, our Lord, we can't see our brothers, our sisters. They used to pray salah with us, meaning the obligatory prayer. They used to pray with us. And وَيَصُومُونَ مَعَنَا. They used to fast with us. And in the narration of Muslim, وَيَحُجُّونَ مَعَنَا. And they used to perform hajj with us. So then Allah Ta'ala sends the angels to go find those people. And in some of the narrations, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that one was the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, both are in Bukhari and Muslim, by the way. send the angels, فَيَعْرِفُونَهُمْ search in the hellfire, فَيَعْرِفُونَهُمْ بِعَلَامَةِ آثَارِ السُّجُودِ, and they're going to recognize the Muslims through the signs of prostration. What are the signs of prostration, my sisters? The forehead, the nose, the hands, the palms of the hands, the knees, the feet, and the Prophet ﷺ mentions, وَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ أَنْ تَأْكُلَ مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, and Allah makes it haram upon the hellfire to consume the signs of prostration from the son of Adam. What does that mean, sisters? It means that if a person didn't used to pray, it's a big worry. Why is that? Why is it such a big worry? Because maybe their family members used to pray, so they're going to ask, oh my brother Muhammad, oh my brother so-and-so, my sister Sumayya, go. So the angels are sent into the hellfire, they're searching for them, but they don't find them. See, where are they? You don't see them. Because they didn't used to pray, there's no sign that they were Muslim. There was no sign that they were Muslim. The person searches for them, can't find them. That's what a number of scholars mentioned. So then, khalas, they left there. They left there. They left. They left there. And this is why some of the scholars of the past used to believe that all of the actions, a person may commit every sin in the book, except obviously for shirk or something that takes you out of Islam. But as for a person who neglects, person doesn't give zakah, bad Muslim. Person doesn't fast, bad Muslim. Person who doesn't perform hajj and they have the ability, bad Muslim. But a person who doesn't pray, then a number of the scholars of the past, they consider that person, they say this, there's a doubt on, as in, there's a question mark on this person's Islam. There's a question mark on this person's Islam. And Abdullah bin Shariq al-Uqayli al-Tirmidhi, he says that the Sahaba didn't see any action, meaning neglecting any action, to be considered as disbelief, taking you out of Islam, other than neglecting the prayer. So going back, my dear brothers and sisters, let us try our best. Our goal during this, our goal in that statement that I just made, and that short little comment that we made, and the speech in respect to making sure that we perform the obligatory actions, the goal behind this is not so you meet a family member or you think to yourself, oh, maybe I'm not Muslim, maybe there's this. No, that's not the goal here. The goal is, that's Shaytan saying that to us. The goal is if we did fall short in the obligatory prayers, let us at least from now, with Allah's permission, start to perform the obligatory prayers. At least the obligatory prayers. Some of us, we may come from cultures, or we may come from places where when we perform some of the prayers, we perform lots of optional prayers. For example, Isha, we perform maybe 17 rak'ahs or something similar to that. My dear sisters, if you're struggling, or your family member, your son, your brother, your sister, is struggling with the obligatory prayer, don't tell them to do this when it's going to compromise the obligatory prayer. If it's going to be either, we're going to perform this and all of the sunnahs, or nothing, say, yeah. Don't perform sunnahs, just perform the obligatory prayer. Start off with the obligatory prayer, and slowly build up the nawafil, you know, your sunnah, the sunnah prayers, the optional prayers, slowly work on them later. So that's the first action that we need to think about during this month of Ramadan. Let us make sure we do the obligatory ones, the ones that we have no way around, and the optional ones, if we get an opportunity, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If we don't, it's not the end of the world. But the obligatory actions, we don't neglect under any circumstance. Like my child, for example, and I encourage brothers and sisters specifically when they have children, it's important, like for example, if your child, specifically when the child hits 10 years old, my sisters, when they're 7 years old, we're supposed to encourage them. When it's 10 years old, make sure you really push them to perform the prayers. They don't say, oh, you're really tired or this or that. When they're 10 years old, it's important to engrave in the child's mind from a young age that even if they feel that they've got no energy in them, that a person, for example, I'll say, even if I'm dying, but it's Fajr time, I need to pray. There's no way around it. So at least the last action that I perform, Allah's pleased with me. And this was how I passed away. So explain to the child, just like when we have children, for example, sometimes many parents, we neglect, we're soft with them when it comes to pressure, for example, they're tired. But when it comes to eating their breakfast, we're not soft in that area. You're not going to survive today. You have to have your breakfast. So this is food for your body. As for food for your soul, we're neglecting them. We're neglecting them. Food for your soul, which is a very prayer, sisters, and the rest of our prayers. So he's saying obligatory actions, we need to engrave in ourselves and our children and our families that we can't neglect them under any circumstance. Under any circumstance. Even if it's 2 minutes that we do, so be it. At least 2 minutes, but it's done. That's the first one. The Prophet Allah Jalla Ala then continues in another verse, it says, وَمِنْهُمْ
أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ.
So Allah says, and from them, and he's talking about
Musa alayhi salam's nation, the people, the progeny of Banu Israel, he's saying that, and from them are unlettered people, people who can't read, they can't write.
لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ,
they don't know their book.
إِلَّا أَمَانِي, except wishful thought, wishful thinking. What does أَمَانِي really mean, my sisters? A number of scholars, like Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he mentions meaning
that there's, they only know it from a qira'a perspective. They only know how to recite it.
So they recite it, they love to listen to it, they don't know how to contemplate over it. So Allah is rebuking, Allah is saying these people are no good. It's not a good thing.
And this is another thing, my dear sisters, which is beautiful in the month of Ramadan, but we need to tweak it. All of these things are beautiful, but we need to tighten them up in the month of Ramadan. Which is what? Which is, in the month of Ramadan, many of us love to recite the Quran.
And at the end of the day, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila, when we look at the month of Ramadan as well, Allah Jalla Ala, what did he mention? What was sent down in the month of Ramadan?
The Quran. We already know that. But what about that, my sisters? It's not just about reciting the Quran. It's about starting some sort of contemplation over the Quran. Reciting Quran is a given. It's a given. Meaning a person tries to finish the Quran like Prophet ﷺ would finish it with Jibreel.
Once, and in the last year before he passed away,
twice. Twice before he passed away. Finishing the Quran, the person tries to. But what's missing is what? It's contemplation over the Quran. And this is the game changer. This is the game changer. As in, when a person doesn't أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, when a person doesn't do تَدَبُّر over the Qur'an, and تَدَبُّر over the Qur'an means it has to be فَهَم. So first of all, we recite the Qur'an, we understand it. The only way you're going to understand it is if you either listen to someone who explains the Qur'an, tafsir of the Qur'an, or you pick up a tafsir yourself, like tafsir of Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, or tafsir by As-Sa'di.
Well, other than that, you have to recite a tafsir, my dear sisters. After that, then a person starts to contemplate. They start to reflect over the Quran. Otherwise, when you look at a brother or sister, many brothers and sisters recite Quran day and night. Some of them finish 5 juz a day, 6 juz a day. Some people read less, some people read more. How come we don't see no change in their life? We see so many people reciting so much Quran, we see very little change. Very little change. And one of the key reasons is because they don't know what they're reciting. It's just like another language. Sometimes even a brother who's of Arab origin hasn't understood the Quran, because the language of the Arabs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ is very different to the language of an Arab 14 centuries later. 14 centuries later, you can't pick up you can't see a word in the Quran that you don't understand, and you pick up a modern day dictionary and expect to get the right understanding. That would misguide you. That would misguide you. Because the language has changed quite a bit, my dear sisters. The language has changed quite a bit. So what we're saying is, a person, if you want to change your life, try to pick up the Quran and the tafsir. And if you don't like reading, some of the brothers and sisters, they're not used to reading, listen to something. Listen to a reliable tafsir, an explanation, an analysis of the Quran, and then start to contemplate. And as Hassan ibn Ali rahimahullah ta'ala, from the people of the past, you see that the people of the past would see the verses like rasalin, messages from the Lord. Imagine you got messages. And think about this, my sisters. And I remember one of our teachers mentioned this sometime ago, and I thought, subhanAllah, it really disturbed me more than anything else. That he said that people recite, and this is, look at, amongst practicing people, we're talking about people who want to try to get close to Allah. He
says, analyze people in this world, and you'll find that 99% of the Muslims, they've read the Quran, but have never, ever understood from cover to cover. They've read so many books. Persons read, you know, in terms of fictional and non-fictional, completed so many books. Even those who are practicing, they've read books of fiqh, they've read books of aqidah, they've read books of hadith, of mustalah, of usul, of this. As for tafsir of the Quran, the best of us have read a translation. And translation, sisters, isn't enough, by the way. As in, that's not enough to even get a very good understanding. It's not about the literal meaning, it's about the deep, lateral meaning, the deep meaning. You want to get, what is Allah saying to you? Not to me, but what is He not saying to the person beside you? What is He saying to all of us? So it's sad, my dear brothers and sisters, for many of us, when we get older, we're going to enter into, if Allah gives us life, we enter into our 70s, we enter into our 80s, we passed away, and we still haven't understood the Quran. The book of our Lord that He sent as a guidance, that we always thought, we sing about it, we mention it day and night, it's a guidance, guidance. But yet we've never actually opened our hearts to the guidance, because we've never understood it. And the worry is, we're going to enter into, like, we're going to be like that verse, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ. All they know about is, they only know the book in terms of recitation, reading it, and they love it, which is good. That's not enough. For it to be a true game changer, life changer, person has to make effort, my brothers and sisters. And I would encourage you, all of the brothers and sisters who are here, we're not expecting a major change overnight, but I would say, even if you aim for one surah per week, that's a nice start. One surah. Imagine, have this from now, from today inshaAllah ta'ala, have a clear intention. And this is how I started as well, sisters. So I'm not telling you something that I haven't, like, I started this first time a few years ago, because I thought, I felt very guilty that, subhanAllah, that's a very good point. That person studies all of these things, but as for the Quran itself, they only understood bits of it. They only understood a few surahs. Understanding from cover to cover, and it is a genuine game changer. Like, one of my teachers, who's still alive, he said, and this is a specialist in tafsir. Specialist in tafsir, in one of the universities abroad. And he mentioned, and he wasn't a specialist for just one of, he was a specialist for 30 years. He said, when I was reading tafsir, this is his, because I asked him to advise me. He said, I read books, I was a specialist in tafsir for 30 years. He said, but I never tasted no sweetness. Until I started contemplation over the Quran, and he said, and it changed my life. It changed my family's life. It changed the life of everyone who works around me. It changed everyone's life. Everyone's life. Anyone who's connected with me genuinely feels that they've seen something that they've never experienced before. And likewise, brothers and sisters, what the Sheikh mentioned, there's a lot of truth in that statement. But we need to start off somewhere. I'm saying at least one surah a week. I think one surah a week, a nice start. Don't wait to your holiday. That holiday will never come. Don't wait to retirement. That doesn't exist. Don't wait for anything. Start now. Even if it's one verse. Even if it's one verse a day. I said one surah a week, which can be even less than that, because some of the surahs are only 3 verses, as we know. 4 verses. 5 verses. So it may be even less than that per week. But what we're saying is, start off with something. My dear brothers and sisters, to conclude and to finish off inshaAllah ta'ala, so let us just review what we've covered. We said the obligatory action, we make sure we give them time, and we put that over everything else. If it means optional action, obligatory action, we make sure we do that. Even if we do it in 1 or 2 minutes, no problem. Point is, get it done inshaAllah ta'ala. Second point that we mentioned, the Quran, try to start connecting, listening, reading a book of tafsir, and at least one surah a week from today, inshaAllah ta'ala. The last point that I want to mention, my dear brothers and sisters, as we know, the last 10 nights is only a few days away. It's literally just over 10 days away. Literally just over 10 days away. So from now, start to do some sort of good deed. Start to grace. Like Allah says again, He says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. That race towards doing good deeds. Doing good deeds. Why? Because a good deed, الحسنة, a good deed calls out to her sister, to another good deed. A good deed, when you do one good deed, subhanAllah, you start off with one good deed, like for example, person says, I just perform 2 rak'ah. After that 2 rak'ah, you feel like, let me do some more. A third one is what to do. Like Malik ibn Dinar rahimahullah ta'ala, a man came into his house and he wanted to steal. He was a thief, wanted to steal for his house. So Malik is in the he's busy in the night prayer, qiyam. So he notices this person, he says, "Have you come to steal from me?" He says, "You're not gonna find nothing, ya miskin. You're not gonna find anything. You're not gonna find anything valuable in this house. You're wasting your time." So he said, "But let me call you towards something." He says, "How about you perform some prayer with me?" He said, "The thief in his house, nighttime. This is about 1,000 years ago." So he said, so he started off the night prayer, performed 2 rak'ah. Then the thief said, he said to the sheikh, said to the imam, he said, "Do you give me permission to perform some more?" What is this? What's happened here? This guy is a thief. He entered into the house as a thief. But he experienced a good deed. The good deed had a place in his heart. The good deed calls out to another good deed. He had a bad intention, but he just said, "Let me give it a go." Give it a go. The good deed called out to another good deed. And then after that, he performed the night prayer until Fajr time. And then at Fajr time, Malik ibn Dinar's students, they came and they saw that, who's this person? As they came to collect the sheikh to go to the masjid, the imam. And he said, "This guy came to steal from us, but we stole him." Yeah, came to steal from us, but we stole him. That's what he mentions. Meaning, this guy was working for the shaytan and to do wrong, and now alhamdulillah is working for Allah, the Almighty. So what we're saying, brothers and sisters, before the last night, if you start to do good deeds, do as many good deeds as possible, so inshaAllah ta'ala, in the last night, we take full advantage. For these last 10 nights, they only happen once in the entire year. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, we know, sisters, you catch that one night, it's better than catching more than 8 years. It's as if you've been given an extra lifetime. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah used to say, if we didn't know when Laylatul Qadr was, meaning if we were told, it's any night in the entire year, 300 and plus days, it could be anything. He said, I will make sure that every single night I'm away doing night prayer. I'm doing some good deeds. He says, then how about if it's only 10 short nights? 10 short nights. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to say, says, a person who's wasted his entire lifetime, nothing can redeem himself except for Laylatul Qadr. Ibn Rajab. Meaning if a person catches that, it's as if they've actually started to redeem themselves. To get back on track, because that's an 83 years of good deeds added to this scale in the next life. That's a beautiful start. It's a beautiful start, inshallah ta'ala. So what we're saying, sisters, start to do some good deeds, inshallah ta'ala. So as soon as the last 10 enter, we can really make the most of it and make this our best Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim.